Hello and welcome to Talk of the Town, Buckeye Country 107.7. Dave Doney joined today by our special guest, Licking County Commissioner Tim Bubb. Cloudy skies, scattered flurries today. Looking outside, I guess they're coming down still. Commissioner, you just came in. I know this morning they didn't stop, and it looks like they're still out there flurrying a little bit.
Well, I would say so. What? This is January, right?
Yeah, that's what people got to remember. There's this little season called winter. I was like, okay, what are you going to do? But, I mean, yeah, it's a cloudy. It's got flurries today. Tonight, cloudy chance of snow, and then partly sunny on Thursday. Now, the big thing here is, and we'll get into this real quick, is, you know, it's going to get brutally cold. I had Sean Grady on, EMA director, talking about the Licking County Warming Center that's going to be open, Holy Trinity Lutheran Church on West Main Street. I mean, this is, for some, and Sean said this as well, I mean, this is life or death for some of these folks if they can get in and get warm somewhere.
Yeah, that's an excellent program. They've got the volunteers lined up, and not everyone's willing to go to a warming center. A lot of folks that are sort of unhoused sometimes kind of do some couch surfing and go with relatives or whatever, but we don't want anybody on the street. Certainly, it is going to be single-digit stuff, and we got to keep everybody safe to the extent that they will. And some people just don't want to be housed. They just just don't do it because, you know, invariably you have to follow some rules when you go into a warming center even, and that's sad, but you know, hopefully keep everybody safe. It is winter. These are the days that in August and July we look back and say, boy, nice to have this nice weather. So we'll just this is the winter of 25, and for anybody that says we don't get winters like we used to, well, this is about what I remember.
Yeah, every now and then you get hit with a blast. Now, or again, earlier this week, as a matter of fact, you texted me early on Monday, hey, we're going to close up shop until about 10 o'clock on Monday morning. We're going to have a delayed opening for buildings across the county. That decision is not a one taken lightly. It's not easy, but maybe talk us through how that works. Who are you in communication with as far as, okay, what's Licking County going to do with these buildings?
Yeah, we're different in that the county government is not a school system. We don't have school buses and children at risk, you know, on slippery roads. So, I mean, the people that work for us are adults. They can make their own safety decisions. You know, we have some employees of the county who were coming out of counties with level 3, and they were basically told don't travel, and that's fine, and no harm, no foul. But basically what we did, because we were on the fringe of that winter storm, which went basically south of us, it was the storms either go up around Lake Erie or they take the Kentucky-Tennessee path around southern Ohio, and we get dumped on that way. We were on the fringe. You and I talked about it. We had some broken snow showers that left, you know, several inches of snow in some areas of Licking County and almost a dusting in others. So we decided just to wait and see what the storm actually does. The timing couldn't have been worse. Mm-hmm. Overnight Sunday into Monday, start of a business day, start of the work week after the holidays. But, the weather gods didn't ask us for permission. They just did it. So what we did, basically, we held back. We told all of our people, we're going to wait till early Monday morning. Let's see what we've got. And we were in contact with the sheriff and our own highway people that went out about 4 in the morning. So we knew what we were looking at. And we have people that clear all of our parking lots and sidewalks to make it safe to get to the courthouse, the administration building, and places where the public needs to interact with their county government. So we decided just to do a delayed start. And that gave us time to have everything salted, clear, clean, and everybody was very complimentary. We completely resumed county government operations at 10 o'clock Monday morning, put in a full day, and people were happy all the way around. It worked out fortuitously to wait and see what happens. Certainly, if we had been south of here along the Ohio River and seen what was coming, we probably would just canceled for mm-hmm. the day. But so that's it. And kudos to Sheriff Thorpe. Mm-hmm. He was out Sunday night and Monday morning in his cruiser, and all of his people were out. In fact, he had extra people out starting at 4 o'clock Monday morning. I was talking to the sheriff about 5:20 Monday morning, and he's right on it. And he told me, he said, hey, we're at level 1. That means to just drive carefully, cautiously. It's just to put the warning out. Later, we went to that level 2, which is don't go out unless you really need to. But then that backed off because our highway crews at the city, at the township level, the county level, and the ODOT folks, they did a good job making the roads very passable, safe enough that if you drive cautiously, remember winter driving, that it was okay. So we got past it, and appreciate you and the local media for helping get the word out to our folks early Monday morning, so they knew that they had a little bit of breathing room to get their affairs together and then come in a little bit later.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned the sheriff for two reasons. One, again, sometimes we still get folks who will call. Who makes that call on the snow emergency? It's the sheriff's departments. It's each sheriff department across the state of Ohio makes that call. And then secondly, speaking of the sheriff, tomorrow is Law Enforcement Appreciation Day. Commissioner, I mean, you work closely with Sheriff Thorpe and all the other entities, but boy, I tell you what, you really don't want one special day. You should be doing it every day to thank these men and women for what they do. But tomorrow, Law Enforcement Appreciation Day, just take a moment and thank them.
Yeah, thank them. Buy them a donut. They're good people. You know, they work hard. They're well paid. But they work hard, and sometimes the situations they get into are not particularly attractive because they have to deal with some of the worst situations also that evolve. And we've got a good sheriff and good team there, and we're proud of them. And I did not realize that tomorrow is Law Enforcement Appreciation Day. I know there's a National Police Day later in the spring.
Yeah.
I'll have to send some kudos around today and tomorrow to those folks as well. But yeah, that's well said, and it is the sheriff or his designee in each of the counties. And a lot of times in some of the bigger counties where the sheriff's almost a CEO, they designate that to their road staffs and their road crews that are actually out. Because I know, even talking to Randy, he gets input from his people that are out in cars out in your neighborhood in Western Licking County, Eastern Licking County, around Buckeye Lake, and even up north. Eyes on the road, eyes on the situation are the most important, and they have that network. And so that goes into their calculation, and at the end of the day, it's public safety, and they did a good job.
Yep, they do. They do a great job. So just take a second and thank them, no matter where you live. Police, you know, it doesn't matter. Thank them for all that they do. Okay, coming off a very busy 2024, as you dive into 2025, obviously budget talks and those kind of things. And I know over the past number of years, and you've mentioned you've kind of let it go, interim budget until I think it's in April that you put the final stamp on a budget. But how's that process been going as you come in from 2024 to 2025?
Yeah, we've changed our approach a little bit over the last two or three years. We used to do an interim budget to allow us to get into the first quarter of the year. And then by the end of March, we would finalize it. We're pretty precise in our budgeting now, and while there are always some minor changes and you can amend it, basically we finalize our budget between Christmas and New Year's for 2025. It's a done deal. Over the proposed budgets that came in, we backed off our budget by about 20% this year over what was requested. And, that was, for some folks, that was a stretch to cut their budgets back. But, we're conservative.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically it. We've got resources, but at the same time, there's been a lot of inflation in budget requests in recent years because people try, our biggest cost in budget is personnel. And so, and we're a unionized workforce in part and in part not. And everybody wants more money. I get it. You can work the radio station. Everybody wants a little more money. I get it. And inflation's the good excuse for it, and inflation is real. We try to do the best we can with our county folks, but we have to work within the resources that we have. And we always understand that the resources we have come from the taxpayers, and that it's painful for them. Half our budget comes from the sales tax, the local portion of the state sales tax. So a much smaller portion comes from property tax. Most of that goes to the schools. We've talked about that before.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have some other revenue from the state, called the State and Local Government Fund. They fund some state functions that we provide locally. They participate in that. And then we have a lot of other smaller incomes, like the casino fund. We get a little, all the counties benefit from the casino fund, depending on how the big casino do. That money is spread around. And there's fees and, application fees for various things. Things like dog licenses pay for the animal control. But our big source of revenue is the state sales tax. And to be honest with you, that is what I call a roller coaster. We're coming out of the Christmas season. There's about a 2-month lag in that. So in January, February, and March, we'll see the collections from November, December of the Christmas season. And then we expect that to decline.
Mm-hmm.
We think that people are going to be pretty conservative in their spending. We've seen that trend since last year, that spending has been down on major items, vehicles, and things like that. Now, that may pick up this year. It's a roller coaster. People spend when it makes sense. And total precaution, we stayed very conservative with this year's budget. We don't know what, you know, a new administration coming in, the economy sluggish a little bit, still feeling some inflationary influences. But the Fed has done what it can to slow the economy down to the point where inflation's manageable now. It wasn't as terrible as it had been the past couple of years. And so, you know, we look at the budget numbers. We have folks that look at that for us. We invest public funds. Mm-hmm. So we try to project ahead what this year holds, and we have people that help us with that. But we stayed very conservative, and we have a budget in place, and we're paying our bills.
You know, folks, before we take a break, Commissioner, we'll say, you mentioned 20%, you know, said, hey, we're just not going to go there with it. That's a tough decision. How do you do that? I mean, is it just the three of you get together, you get the auditor, you get all the different department heads together, and you go, okay, here's what we're looking at, but I'm telling you, we're going to have to make the cuts here. That can't be an easy discussion to have with folks.
The commissioners give our straight-up guidance very bluntly to our staff, our budgeting staff, and our administrator, who is now Dave Edelblut, Bev Adzik retired. We give them our guidance as to what our expectations are and what we want to spend. And then there's people responsible for the budgets in all the departments and other elected officials, and it's trickle down. The word gets down that and there's a lot of ways it can be done. Travel training with capital expenditures, with raises, with benefits, with filling positions or not filling positions. There's a lot of ways you can do that, and we don't micromanage every little individual budget within the bigger budget, because every department's different and they know where their fat is. Let's be honest about it. Mm-hmm. There's a little fat in every budget. A budget is nothing more than a plan to spend money. The revenue is pretty much fixed. So, you can plan as aggressively or unaggressively as you want. And in today's, we're all human, right? So everybody puts a little fat in their budget because they don't know what the year holds either. Well, we just had to kind of lean that up a little bit. You just can't do everything you want. And that's not a bad message, because it's an adult message. It's a mature message. And that's what people expect from their local government. So we're okay. We're going into the year. I mean, if we cut somebody a little hard in one area and the year turns out to be pretty good, we might have to make an adjustment along the way. But we do that all the time.
Yeah, it's always looking at it and going, okay, here's what we got. Maybe a little bit better sales tax, as you said, and things come in and you're like, okay, we got a little bit extra here. Where do we go with it? I know. It's never any, it's just like when you do at your house. I mean, it's no different. You got to have it balanced. It's not like you're the federal government where you can go, hey, we'll just print more money and go at it. You got to keep it balanced.
Let's talk about property tax for just a moment, because everybody in Licking County got hit with the reappraisal thing. That's state mandated, by the way. That didn't come locally. A third of all the counties every 2 years, basically in a 6-year window, have to reappraise based on sales history. And that happened in Licking County. Some people got hit harder than others. I think we can all acknowledge, since COVID, with inflation, that property values certainly have gone up. People that sold homes and property benefited from that considerably. But also, at some point, there's a day of reckoning that those new home prices were reflected in the increased rates of property tax. And the auditor had to do that. It's required by state law. So there's two things on the horizon that I see. Number one, I understand in this new legislature, which just started, there's going to be a whole slew of proposals to try to moderate that. I don't know if they are capable of making that happen. I hope they are. I hope the new leadership in the Ohio House can take the lead in finding some moderation, because for some of our seniors, and we're all on a fixed income, basically, but really seniors who are on retirement incomes, this is pushing some people to the brink. And the state legislature is the only group that can really deal with this. They know that they have a problem, because we're relying more on property tax now than commercial tax in Ohio. So that really has to be dealt with in Columbus, and I hope that they're up to it after the budget season, which is the first half of this year, goes, because we need that. And just so that you will know, from a Licking County standpoint, our inside millage, which is property tax for the commissioners, we cut that back in half 3 years ago, and we still have it cut. So we have done what we can to give people a break on property tax. But make no mistake, the largest portion of the property tax supports your schools, your vocational school, your local schools. That does not go to your county government. We only have just a small portion of the property tax that supports county government. So, you know, and the voters in the election in November sent a strong message. A lot of levies, even a fire levy out in your neighborhood, and some levies that normally would be a slam dunk, didn't make it in November. I think that was the voters sending a message, enough's enough. Because when some fire levies and road levies don't pass, those typically do. And we were fortunate that the voters saw that the levy we had on the ballot just to renew, not increase, but to renew the levy for senior citizen services was passed, not by its usual hefty margin, but it did pass, and thank goodness. Because that $4 million plus, almost five, goes to support several large and a couple dozen other agencies that provide senior services for 40% of our population.
We're all growing older, Commissioner. Well, we're going
to
need it.
Someone has to pay that freight. Yep. And so I'm pleased the voters saw that renewal as positive, and I think we will see some of those levies return to the ballot this year. One thing, Dave, you know this from being in the news business, last year was a huge turnout, 72-73% in the presidential year. Sadly, a lot of folks only vote every four. So this year, it's townships, villages, cities, and school boards. So we'll probably see 30% of the people go vote. It'll be a smaller turnout this year. here's what I would say to your listeners. Okay, you voted last year, and it was big decisions to be made. Decisions were made. We'll see how it works out. But this year, there are just as important decisions on local officials who runs your school board, your township, your village, your city, and it will affect. There'll be issues that will affect your property tax on the ballot. So don't blow off your voting responsibility this year thinking, I did my duty last year in the presidential, I don't need to go back again for a while. You need to vote in this year's May primary to make selections, and you need to vote in November in the general election. And I've said it before, we've said it here, and I think you've agreed with me. If you don't take part in that process, then you got no one to blame but yourself.
Lump it.
Got
that's,
it.
That's, I'm with you 100%. I can't say that any better because I get so frustrated with those turnout numbers when it's voting. I'm not even going to go there. So let me take a quick break before I have blood pressure issues here. You're listening to Talk of the Town on Buckeye Country 107.7.
Hey there, folks. Dave Doney here.
And Joel Riley.
We're your hosts for Talk of the Town, your go-to podcast for everything happening in our local community.
That's right, Dave. We dish out the latest on events, interview local leaders, and we sprinkle in a little fun.
More than a little fun. So whether you're a longtime resident or just passing through, join us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for a good time and the inside scoop on all things local.
Yeah, don't miss out. Hit that subscribe button now and never miss an episode on your favorite podcast platform.
Or visit our website at WNKO.com to stay in the loop. And if there's a guest, event, or topic you think we should be talking about, send us an email to news@WNKO.com.
I love it. Tune in and be a part of the conversation.
Welcome back to Talk of the Town, Buckeye Country 107.7. Dave Doney, our special guest today, Licking County Commissioner Tim Bubb, 9:24 on your Wednesday morning. Cloudy skies and scattered flurries throughout the day. Cloudy tonight, chance of snow, and then Thursday, partly sunny, but it is going to be cold over the next few days. Thursday night, temperature is going to be down around 4, so keep that in mind. As a reminder, the Licking County Warming Center Task Force will open the Warming Center later today. It'll open at 5:30. It'll go then Wednesday evening into Thursday morning, Thursday afternoon into Friday morning. So it'll be open the next few days to make sure folks have a place to go to get out of these cold temperatures. We just talked a little bit about some of those hard news-hitting kind of things, as people like to say. All right, let's turn our attention now to 2025. And a thing that a lot of folks may not be aware of is we're getting ready for the big celebration for the U.S., but boy, there's going to be a lot going on for America's 250th. Maybe talk a little bit, Commissioner, about what the county's doing and how residents can get involved and help with this.
America's 250th will only be successful if people care about it and take an active role, really. And I've been on my soapbox here today a little bit, and before we finish this conversation, I'll get on it just one more time briefly, but here's what's going on. The America's 250th birthday is in 2026. That's the 250th birthday of our nation. And we are still unique in the world in that people still are free here. And that's kind of a big deal that we're celebrating our 250th birthday. A lot of your listeners who are in my age group remember the 1976 bicentennial, which was a very big deal in the country. And the quinsesquicentennial is what this is called, and it's basically the 250th. Sesquicentennial is, you know, half of the centennial. So, but quinsesquicentennial, people have a hard time remembering, so we're just calling it America's 250th. There is a committee working through the Licking County Historical Society. All the event groups that have museums and attractions in the county are on board with it. They're planning a huge program that we've underwritten called the Passport Program. It's going to be in every school in the area, and the kids will get a passport. And basically this summer, because July 4th of this summer, we start the year-long celebration, which will culminate July 4th of 2026. So we've got a full year starting this July. It's coming quick. The Passport Program will encourage kids, families, and their friends to get out in Licking County, visit all the attractions, some well-known, some not well-known, things like covered bridges and museums and historical sites, and learn about them. They're printing a passbook, a book that people will have access to, and then actually give some awards to people that get out and see all this. So, and working with the the Tourism Bureau, the Convention Visitors Bureau, and all the folks locally, we're helping to underwrite that cost. There's some other projects being planned. To be honest with you, in downtown Newark, three projects will come to culmination the first half of this year. The arcade is going to be starting to throw its doors open in January, even though the renovated arcade, which has been a two-year process, it's still going to be a work in progress this year. The Sullivan Building will get its finishing touches this year. And the beautiful big courtroom in the county courthouse, which we've been restoring, will be open. We're going to be planning events for all of those this year, and we think that a lot of people are going to be coming to our communities, not just Newark, but all of our communities, to see what we have here. Licking County is special. But here's the deal, and if you remember 1976, people really got involved at the grassroots level, from painting fire hydrants to school projects to neighborhood projects, church projects. Here's my challenge to Licking Countyans. Start thinking about your groups. Could be your bowling team, could be your church. You tell me, your social club, your card club or whatever. Thinking about what you're going to do on a large or small scale to celebrate America's birthday starting this July 4th. It's going to be a red, white, and blue day and a red, white, and blue year through July 4th of 2026. And it should not be ignored. And here's my soapbox. And I'll make this quick because you're getting nervous like he's going to get wound up here.
No, you're not bothering me one bit.
Americans, in some respects, and not all, in some respects have become very complacent about the value of our country, the freedoms we have here, and the uniqueness we have in the world. Just take a look around at the conflicts in the world and how people are suffering, and realize how good we've got it here. No matter whether your situation right now isn't great or not, overall big picture, this is still, that's why people are immigrating to this country, whether they're legal or not. They see this as the one place in the world that's safe, where they have an opportunity. It is still that kind of a country. I won't be around in 2076. Pretty well guaranteed you won't either.
I wouldn't think.
For the tricentennial.
Yeah.
So I've lived through the bicentennial, 1976. I was a young person then. I loved it. I am encouraging everyone to appreciate this quinsesquicentennial, the America's 250th. Get involved. And this is our one opportunity with this birthday celebration to transfer knowledge to this new generation coming up, the millennials and the ones beyond them, that this country is worth enhancing, saving, preserving, and making sure we make it to the tricentennial in 2076. And I think the bicentennial was like that. It got people re-energized about history and why this country is special. And we need to do that again with this 250th, because our country is only as good as the next generations that follow us, and whether they see value in our country and whether they want to defend what we have here, including the Constitution.
Sister Delarina, third grade, St. Sebastian's. I can remember it like it was yesterday. My mom made a Texas sheet cake, and her frosting was the flag. I mean,
it's, never forget it, will
no,
you?
No, and it was just, that bicentennial year was just unbelievable, and how much fun we had. Sister Delarina, third grade, how much fun we had with the bicentennial. Is there a place right now where folks can go, a website or somewhere where they can go and say, okay, I want to see what's being done and then, you know, get more information, or not just yet?
Well, the Historical Society is putting it together. We will have the, I'll get that for you, because there will be a destination. The Licking County Historical Society is sort of the clearinghouse right now for groups that are doing this. It's just starting to really get wound up. You know, I think Explore Licking County will also be a great source to get on the Convention Visitors Bureau website to get their weekly updates. And I think as we start to move into spring and people start planning for this summer and the year ahead, there's going to be a long list of opportunities to celebrate America's 250th. But don't just count on other people to do it. That's the thing to take away from this conversation. Think about what you're doing in a small, baking that cake, doing something within your group to visit a local site that has historical significance here in Licking County. Honor some of our veterans. We've got Revolutionary War veterans buried at 30 different cemeteries across Licking County. Yeah, that's old, but guess what? Those people put their lives on the line to make this country what it was in 1776. Many of them migrated here after the Revolution that survived it, and a bunch of them are buried right here. Yep. So there's a rich history here, and that's the whole deal. We're not as historically oriented as we were. You have to embrace the past to get a vision for where we're headed in the future. So don't blow off America's 250th as something someone else has to do. It's something you need to think about, focus on, and see what you can do to impart what makes America special to the folks that are going to follow you, because we need to make it to the tricentennial.
No doubt about it, as we always like to do while you're here. Again, if folks want information on anything you've talked about countywide in talking about America's 250th, they can always get your newsletter that you put out right at the end of the month, first of the month. How do they get it?
Call me at the county building. Tim Bubb, just we're in the on the internet at a county website. My number is 670-5118, 670-5118. Call us or send me an email down to the county building. Again, go to the county website, Licking County website, and all of our points of contact for myself, Dwayne Flowers, Rick Blacker there, and the staff. Reach out to us, and we'll be glad to reach back.
Commissioner, as always, it's a pleasure to have you in. I always look forward to our talks once a month to find out what's happening in the county, and plenty of it. I mean, I know we're just in January, so getting ready for a busy year, coming off a busy 2024, and 2025 will certainly be as busy. Be sure to join us Friday as Newark City Council President Jeff Harris will be joining us, not so much to talk about politics, but he is the guest speaker for the upcoming Martin Luther King Day breakfast at Par Excellence STEM Academy. So he will be here to talk about what that day is going to mean to him, and maybe just kind of let folks know what's going to be happening that morning as well. So again, Friday morning, Newark City Council President Jeff Harris will join us on Talk to Town on Buckeye Country 107.7.